Hare Krishna.
Krishna Ji, Shachinandana Maharaj, please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for your association today.
I'm very happy to be today your guest, and I must say, the subject matter of chanting the holy name in a way that is very personal and not at all mechanic, this subject matter is very close to my heart. Please let us start by saying our prayers. One moment. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatya Deshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited with a few devotees the place where Rupa Goswami stayed in Puri, a very important exchange took place. Srila Rupa Goswami was writing on palm leaves, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Oh, please show me what you are writing." So he took one of the palm leaves and looked, and it contained a beautiful verse on the glories of the holy name. Rupa Goswami had written that, "My dear holy name, as soon as you come on my tongue, I feel great happiness, but you don't stop there, you go deeper. You come into the courtyard of my heart, and there you start to dance, and all my senses, my mind, my words, they stop because I'm overwhelmed with ecstasy. How much nectar is in your two syllables, Krishna? It's very difficult to understand." When this verse was recited, Haridas Thakur was there, who's known as the Namacharya, the great teacher of the holy name, and he started to dance in ecstasy, and other devotees also danced because they felt so touched in their heart by Rupa Goswami's writings. And they agreed amongst themselves that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given him his very special mercy, How do we know that someone has mercy of Krishna? Well, there are a few things by which we can know this, but one is that he has been granted special insights. I know such a devotee who lives in London. He is relatively younger than I am, much younger in Krishna consciousness. But when he speaks, I can see that Krishna has empowered him, and therefore his words are divinely empowered words. They are very effective, they're very powerful. So we can know if someone has the special mercy of Krishna, if he is empowered. And all the great devotees who were there, Ramananda Roy, Haridas, they all said, this Rupa Goswami is so much empowered. So Rupa Goswami wrote 8 verses in which he glorified the holy name. And I want to read to you one of them so that you can understand a little bit more what is the holy name. And then you can also think about how to make a very personal relationship. If you understand this, you will for sure avoid all mechanic chanting. So here I will sing this verse to you. It's from a composition called the Namashtakam. Nikila Shruti Molirat Namala Yuti Nirajita Pada Pankajanta Ayi Mukta Kulaya Upasyamanam Paritastvam Harinama Sangshayami. Please listen very attentively. This will change your whole understanding of the holy name. Maybe now you think this is a mantra, or some of you might think this is a very effective meditation, or this is a very, very special sadhana. But listen to what you will hear now, and you will get an entirely new world that opens to you. He says, O merciful Harinam. And then he says, O Lord, the toenails of your lotus feet are offered worship in the form of the Upanishads, which are like a jeweled necklace forming the crown of the Vedas. Rupa Goswami invokes an image. In Satya Loka, the highest planetary system in this world, all the Upanishads have come in their personal form, and they have a big Artic lamp in their hand. They perform an Artic to whom? To the Holy Name, who sits there on the throne and who has toenails. Now, can a mantra have toenails? Can a mantra have feet and toes? Oh, who can have feet? Who can have toes with toenails? And who can sit on a throne? A person! Not a mantra, not some melody. Only a person can have toenails and toes and feet and sit. My dear devotees, when you deal with the holy name, you're not dealing with a mantra. You're dealing with a person. Oh, we may think, how can I understand? A person is someone like Mallika Mala was just sitting here, and she was a person. She was smiling. She was speaking to us and introducing this seminar or this session. But a sound vibration is a sound. That is not easy for me to understand how this is a person. My dear devotees, this is the highest secret of the Vedic scriptures. And yes, it is not so easy to understand. You have to see that our present understanding is as limited in principle as the understanding of a little ant. When a little ant comes crawling here on the computer, it cannot understand what is going on. It cannot understand that there are at the moment 100 participants and 13 notifications in the chat box, and there is iFast Alexander, and Mayapur Eshwari is translating. The ant has no understanding and no possibility to understand all these things. It is not equipped. It doesn't have the senses to see, nor does it have the mind to see. To understand. And we are all ants when it comes to this virtual reality. We cannot see even our own souls. That's the most important thing to see. We cannot see our thoughts. We cannot see Krishna. So, but just like a person reveals himself when you deal personally with that person, in the same way, the holy name will reveal himself when you deal personally with the holy name. And in this little session, I will give you a few step-by-step processes how you can deal with Krishna in a personal way, how you can deal with Krishna's holy name in a personal name way, so that when you chant, you see Krishna. A person always reveals himself or herself when you deal personally with that person. The holy name can reveal himself. When you sit down to chant and you want to chant in a divine relationship, where you as the soul address the Supreme Soul Krishna, and then Krishna hears you and reveals himself accordingly, according to your surrender, then only you can lift this secret. But you must know that many devotees all over the world, devotees of the past, the present, have seen while they were chanting how Krishna is personally present there. It is not an imagination, it is something that happens. So my point was that Krishna can and has to reveal himself, but he will only do this when you address him in a right way. Otherwise, he will keep himself hidden. It is like any other person in this world. They will not tell you everything they about themselves if they don't feel that there is already the relationship. So if you wish to have Krishna reveal himself, it's very good to approach him in the right way. Here is a verse which is very, very nice, which can tell you this. Krishna tomar hana yadi bale kaba maya banna hoite Krishna tare kare pa. One is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya if he seriously and sincerely says, "My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in this material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service." My dear listeners, my dear devotees, I recommend that you chant this verse before you chant your japa. You can find it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, verse 33. I repeat, and maybe someone wants to put it in the chat box. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, verse 33. This is the verse which has helped me, or the prayer which has helped me to enter into a serious mood from which it is possible to chant with a sense of connectedness, to chant with the understanding Krishna is there, hearing me. Krishna is in the holy name and I'm chanting the holy name to address Krishna. When I chant, my breath is like the string and the holy name are like jewels, and I offer this garland to Krishna. With my breath, I'm offering the jewels of the holy name to Krishna as a devotional gesture. It is a personal interaction. It's not mechanical. And Krishna thinks, oh, now this person is very serious. He wants to approach me. How can we avoid mechanical chanting? Well, there are three things you must know. You have a body given by Krishna with which you chant. You have a mind given by Krishna, and you have a heart. We can call these the three human endowments. Maya Pureshwari, you know what is endowment? You know, good. The three human endowments, these are gifts which are given by Krishna to all of you. You have a body with hands, with a tongue, with ears, in which you can with which you can chant. You have a mind with which you can focus. And you have a heart in which you can offer feelings, devotional feelings to Krishna. So when you, with your body, you should, when you chant, you should use your body in a special way. No, we are discussing this in a certain context, that we want that Krishna reveals himself as a person, so that we can have a personal relationship which is not mechanic but which is dynamic, ecstatic, and so on. So when you talk to someone with you, there is something, and I believe you all know it in IFAST, attentive listening behavior. If I am with someone and talking and I go, this is called inattentive listening behavior. Will the person with whom I'm talking and to whom I'm showing this inattentive listening behavior confide in me? Will he tell me something? No. By my behavior, I'm almost building a wall between me and the person. So when you chant, the first thing is show attentive listening behavior with your body. Prabhupada said, sit properly. Sit straight. Then it is very good if you sit either before your home altar, or if you are in a situation where you cannot have an altar at home, you can at least have a picture of a great soul, like you can have a picture of Srila Prabhupada or your Guru Maharaj, and then a picture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and then a picture of Radha and Krishna, the deities, maybe Radha Syam Sundar, or any deities which you worship, and you focus towards them. After all, chanting is about a relationship. You have to turn to them. You have to show attentive listening behavior. This is so important. Prabhupada would interrupt us, his disciples. He would chant with us and then he would say, sit properly. I remember when I was in Amsterdam, my older brother had he was a guest in Krishna consciousness. He had come to find his younger brother, to find me, and Amsterdam, I was in Amsterdam, so he had taken a train from Hamburg, where he lived, to Amsterdam. And Prabhupada gave a lecture, and my older brother said in a very, very relaxed way. Prabhupada looked at him, and he already knew this man will also become his disciple, so he had seen already. So he sat down on the Vyasasan like my brother and said, don't sit like this. Show attentive listening behavior. So when you deal with God, sit properly. Show attentive listening behavior, and now speak the mantra very clearly with your mouth and your tongue, and listen very accurately with your ears. We want a relationship with the Holy Name that is ecstatic and dynamic, and we have to avoid inattentive behavior. So the next thing, after we have put our body in the proper place, is to put our mind in the proper place. That is much more important than the body, because you are really where your mind is. A little while ago, I gave a call or a presentation to 8 American temples, and I could see there was a gallery, you know, the photos of people who were listening. And there was one person who was all the time operating his mobile telephone. I could understand that, yes, his body was sitting in the lecture, but his mind was with his WhatsApp messages. And really, if I would have asked him, what did we just learn? He would say, what? Oh, no, don't know, no idea. You are where your mind is. This person was with the WhatsApp. He was not in the lecture. His body was in the lecture. But because his mind was outside with many messages, he was with the people, not with this, with the lecture. So when you chant, the most important, no, it's not the, it's the second most important thing. I will come in a moment to what is the most important thing. And you want to have a relationship with Krishna, you have to somehow bring your mind there. And I find there is no quicker way to bring the mind back, bring it to the chanting, than to focus on the present moment. At the present moment, I'm sitting here. I'm sitting before a picture or the deities of Radha and Krishna. And I'm chanting at this moment the holy name. At this moment, I'm not in the supermarket where I have to buy vegetables and flour and so on. At the moment, I'm here. And what am I doing at this moment, this present moment? I'm addressing God by chanting his name. And when you become aware of this present moment, then the mind is focused. Krishna in the Gita tells Arjuna, who says it's so difficult to control the mind, that there is a certain practice by which you can control the mind. And later he speaks about this practice. He says, from wherever and whenever the mind goes away, one should certainly bring it back. Where do you bring it back to? You bring it back to the present moment. And when you are chanting in the present moment, you bring it back to present moment chanting. This is a very, very easy exercise. It works miracles when you do it. It immediately brings you there. You may have to practice this for a little while, because our mind is not really used to be in the present moment. Very often our mind is in the future, making plans. Or our mind is in the past, where certain things happened. We think about a conversation which we had. We think about something that happened in the past and so on. But when you chant, you must make this one practice that wherever and whenever the mind goes, you just bring it back to the mantra. And then a miracle happens. Yesterday, we were here in our Gaurabhavan and we had an online presentation in the Mayapur Kirtan Mela, and I was singing the Kirtan, and I noted how my mind was thinking, oh, I would like to be in Mayapur. This online internet communication is not really my style. I want to be with real people, with live people. And my mind was lamenting. Then I thought, tomorrow I will address the devotees of the IFAST Institute. I have to now practice mind control. So I pulled it back from my lamentations and my worries, and I just brought it to the holy name. And do you know what happens when you are with the holy name? When you bring the mind to the holy name, the holy name takes you and brings you to another place. Before, we live a little outside of Berlin and we have to go by train into the Berlin town. So there is a station just opposite to where I live, the train station, and we go on the train, on the platform, and then what we need to do is we need to go from the platform into the train, and then the train takes us to Berlin. But if I don't go inside the train, if I stay on the platform, then I will stay forever on the platform. In the same way, my dear devotees, when you chant, you have to enter with the mind the sound vibration of the holy name. Very important. Bring your mind into the sound vibration, like you get into a train. And then the holy name will take you to Krishna. Try it. It really works. But if you stay in your own little world, in your mental clouds, even if they are good mental clouds with good plans and good ideas, the holy name will not bring you to Krishna. So this is what you do with the second endowment, the mind. Be present in the present moment, or enter into the sound vibration of the holy name. Now the most important point is not sitting properly and using the lips and the ears of the material body properly. The most important thing is not even concentrating. The most important thing in chanting is what you do with your heart. When I speak here about the heart, I need to be clear what I mean. I do not mean the mechanical organ, the pump. I also don't mean the place. When I say heart, the place where emotions come and go, like love or hatred, that happens in the emotional heart, not the physical heart, the emotional heart. When I speak of the heart, I mean the place of the soul, where the soul lives. It's a spiritual place. And when you chant from that place, it's the soul calling out to Krishna. There's physical calling out, like speaking. There's mental calling out. The mind can think a thought without speaking. And then there is spiritual calling out. It's when the soul is turning towards Krishna and calling towards Krishna. And you can feel it, because at that moment Krishna says, yes, I'm here. Finally, you're calling out for me. Finally, finally. It took so long. Where were you all these years? Where were you all these lives? Now you are back. I'm so happy. Come on, come on, Prabhupada said. Come on, says Krishna. Come a little bit closer. Come. So you have to learn to engage your heart. The heart has to be opened. What we did today, we chanted, we were four devotees who chanted together. We read prayers, a prayer in between, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays to Krishna. Sometimes you may have to open your heart, because you're mostly on the platform of the body or on the platform of the mind while you do things, and your soul is still asleep. It does not really turn to Krishna and relate with Krishna. My dear devotees, I want to now make a little exercise with you. I want to do everything which we heard about in this exercise, to give you a concrete understanding how to chant in a non-mechanical way, and how to chant in a way that Krishna will reveal himself. Do you think that's a good idea? Good. Some of you are nodding their heads. Good. Good. Then we will do it. One moment. Yes, yes, yes. You do not need a bead bag. You do not need, but if you have a bead bag just next to you, please take it. No? Just if it is next to you. It's not absolutely important, but it may be good if you just have. Good. Very good. Yes. My dear devotees, my dear friends, and my dear skeptics, if there is a skeptic amongst you, in this world we have many, many relationships. Some are very personal, some are more distant, like for instance, when you go to the market and you buy something, there's a relationship to the old lady who sells you something, but it is a distant relationship. But there are very close relationships, friends, to maybe our relatives, those of you who have children, to the children. But today, I want to speak or I want to bring you into one relationship. We can call it the one relationship. It's the relationship which was there before you entered this body, and it is the relationship which will be there even after your physical death, when you have left this body. It is your relationship with Krishna. We may know that this one relationship, this relationship to Krishna, is really most important to us. But so often the other relationships demand a lot of our time and also a lot of our attention. Sometimes these other relationships take up almost all of the time which we have. But here, now, we want to concentrate on the one relationship. And we will do this by engaging our body, mind, and heart. Yes, Sati has said. So, I request you to sit straight. Just take your shoulders, roll them back a little bit. This will open the space for your breathing. Bring back your head a little bit, as if you tuck in your chin. Place your palms, open palms. They should be open, like this, going up. Place your hands on your knees, palms up. And when you're ready, please close your eyes. Let us do a few deep breaths. Whenever you exhale, exhale a little bit longer. Your life has become simple now. You're only breathing. Imagine now that you are completely alone. Let everything around you slowly and gently disappear. Bring your attention to what is going on now in your life, and then let that slip away. Your relationships gone. Your job gone. your important responsibilities gone. Your desires for the future gone. You are now absolutely free. You may imagine yourself sitting at a favorite place. It could be a holy place in India. It could be a place in the nature. It could be a place in your apartment. You feel completely safe and spiritually connected. Become aware now that in your truest being, in your essence, you are an eternal spiritual soul. You are an eternal servant of Radha and Krishna. You belong to Radha and Krishna. It is only due to some misfortune that you have been absent from that relationship. But your fortune has turned. You have finally met Srila Prabhupada or your spiritual master. And you have learned about your real identity completely separate from the gross and subtle body. You have been inspired to take up loving service to their lordships, Radha and Krishna. Now in your mind's eye, see Radha and Krishna before you. You may see the deities, your favorite picture. No one else. And now, please chant from this place. Oh Radha and Krishna, for so long and for so many years in the material world, I have been completely absent from our relationship. But now I turn to you by chanting your name. I request you to chant with me together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama. Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
It is so simple. When we are in the proper space, it's so simple. And we get into this proper space, this inner space, the space of the heart. When we use our three human gifts, the body, by sitting properly, pronouncing the mantra properly, the mind, by bringing the mind back whenever it should wander to the syllables of the holy name, and the heart, most important, the heart is for making the relationship. My dear Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in this material world, today, I'm just now, this moment, I'm turning to you as your sincere and serious servant. Yes, please accept me. You have seen this verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's in the chat box. Sati had put it earlier, so maybe we can see it again. Sati, you can share it again, Charitamrita, and that can help you, that the heart, which is so often disturbed, can be in that space. And when you are in that space, so easy, then it's not mechanic, very devotional. So devotional that you feel genuinely touched in your heart. You feel genuinely, and you know, this was the best moment in my life when I chanted my japa this morning. Yes, thank you. Here's the verse. You please take a note, everyone, from the verse which is there in that chat box. And you can look this up. Good. I was a little longer than I intended to be, but now we will have another half an hour together where we can ask questions and hear the answers. And then I will invite our Malika Mala, who is very healthy. I have seen her. She's now healthy. She can now go back to Kazakhstan in a few days, so you can see her and listen to her live. So she will address you in the end of this presentation. Good. So how do we do this? I'm not a computer expert. Maybe Mayapur Ishwari, you can read the questions in the chat. You can also translate them to me. You have to unmute yourself, and then I will hear the question and I will answer the question.
Dear Maharaj, can you hear me?
Yes.
That's wonderful. Okay.
Дорогие преданные, пожалуйста, задавайте ваши вопросы.
Dear devotees, please send your questions. Feel free to ask your questions, because no questions have been so far placed.
Oh yeah, you were
in the chat box.
Yes. You were meditating. How can you write? Yes. Let me just summarize my presentation to you. so that it is very clear. We learned from this pastime that Rupa Goswami describes the holy name as a person by saying, your feet are worshipped by the Upanishads. So today we wanted to discuss how we can stop mechanical chanting, and that is possible when you relate to the person, to Krishna. Now, that is not always so easy, because remember the analogy of the ant. It is very difficult for a conditioned soul to just interact with Krishna. Some effort, some practice is required. And the practice which we looked at was how we use the three human gifts that Krishna has given us, body, mind and heart, into the chanting. We have done a few, we have explained a few things, we have given you a verse. If you want to go deeper into this subject, I have written about this extensively in this book, The Living Name, and it is available in a good Russian translation. This is really a guidebook. It's different from normal books. It's a practice book. This is like one japa retreat, which 1 week japa retreat in one book. So you have good. I think we have questions by now. Am I sure? Am I correct?
Yes, you're correct, Maharaj. And the first question is, how to wake one's heart up? How can I wake up my heart?
Yes.
Chinandana Swami Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. My name is Bhagat. I'm from Ipas. And I have no questions, but I just want to thank you and say that for me it was extremely important to hear from you what you said, that I can ask to chant holy, I can ask Radha and Krishna to chant these holy names with me. So, did I understand it correctly?
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you. I will now answer the first question, which was, how can I wake up my spiritual heart? Yes. There is a song. I think you all know it. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gaurachandra bole, Khoda nidra jao maya, Pisachi bole. It's a beautiful song about waking up the jiva, the spiritual soul. I have found three very powerful ways to wake up the heart. The first is, I read the prayers of great devotees. I read how they pray in such a personal, dynamic, urgent and tearful way in some ways, and it immediately has an effect on my heart, because these devotees or these prayers are spoken with the voice of the awakened soul, and they have the power to awaken the soul. Also, the Bhagavatam has this power. Prabhupada has spoken about the power of these Sanskrit verses. They are like thunder, making sound, and they wake you up. So prayers and deep literature is really waking us up. I always like this Dhruva, the story of Dhruva Maharaj, a little boy rejected by his father. And his mother tells him, I can't help you. You need to go to Krishna. And the little boy, 5 years old, says, where can I find Krishna? The mother says, well, saintly people go in the forest to find him. Maybe you should go there. And little Dhruva goes to the forest. He meets Narada Muni. And he follows his instructions. And finally, he has the complete darshan of the Lord. His first verse, the first thing he says is, my dear Lord, you have completely wakened my sleeping senses. I like this. You have wakened up my sleeping senses. So, my dear devotees, yes, let us read the prayers, let us read about Krishna, but let us pray to Krishna directly. My heart is not good. My heart is engaged with Maya. Please wake my sleeping soul. What I've also, the second drugi, second point is, my dear devotees, when you have good devotional association with good devotees, you are there with them, you're listening to, maybe it's only possible online, you hear online their classes, it has an effect on your heart. Gokrishna knows how to use the computer, and he can give me many lecturers. He can find them, and I look at the lectures online, and so much happiness comes, and I feel there's nothing better I can do at the moment than devotee association. It is said works on the heart chakra also. When the heart chakra opens, you feel, when there's good kirtan, or when we are with good devotee, we feel relieved. Oh, we feel safe. We feel we have arrived at the perfect place. That is, you can immediately feel when the heart chakra opens. It's a great relief, great happiness. So this happens when you are together with a person who's free here, who's devotionally free, who's devotionally attached to Krishna. This is how to rise. But I could give you many, many, many more things, because this is my main question. How can I wake up from the illusion of material existence? But I think today I want to focus on the two, because if you hear too many, you will not do anything. This is what you can practically do. And please do not think this is just another lecture. No, these are now some very concrete tips that can help you make a profound change in your life. Learn to chant properly and open your heart by reading prayers. The whole Hare Krishna chanting is a prayer to Krishna. Please accept me, my Lord. And have good association. Mostly online is very good. Nowadays online, everything is available online. You. If you don't know, like me, how to use the computer, find someone who can help you to find everything. No, nowadays many people know how to use computer. Good. The next question, please.
Yesterday you cited, you gave an example of how to accept and bring back someone's aggressive energy. How can we do it in practice? What is the algorithm? What is the stepwise approach? How to reflect someone's negative energy? Thank you so much. This is a question asked by my spouse, by my husband.
Oh, I have to be careful now.
Maharaj, I will read it in Russian if you don't mind.
Yes. We can't hear you.
You can't hear me because I switch between...
Good.
Two languages.
Good.
Мои пришли люди не слышат тебя на русском, да я буду зачитывать.
Good.
Okay. Вчера вы привели пример отражения возвращения агрессивной энергии. А как это сделать на практике? Какой алгоритм отражения этой энергии? Благодарю. Это вопрос от моего супруга.
Да, слышно было.
Yes. When you have... And when you see that there is an aggressive energy, there are three steps which you have to do. First, you have to absolutely recognize it. You have to identify it. You have to know exactly what it is, you know. You can't be vague. It has to be a concrete recognition. That's the first step. The second step is that you must resolve in your heart that this is not good. I want to change it. Without this, I want to change it, nothing will help you. This I want must be there. It's called a resolve in English, a determination, and so on. And then the third thing is you need to know practical activities how to redirect the aggressive energy. One way is to see that it is an energy and it can be directed in a destructive way, but it can also be directed in a constructive way, like all energies. This energy is just an energy which is there. I would say, from my experience, it can be used in a creative way. That you can see, I'm really in Maya here. I'm an illusion. I'm overcome with this aggressive energy. Now I need to do something with it. I need, otherwise it will kill me or others. And then you use it in a constructive way. And I personally believe that a lot of what celibate monks do is they use the energy in a creative way. They do it in a helping other people. They are beneficial to others. And in this way, it is easy for them to deal with this very, very strong drive. The same or something similar holds true with the aggressive energy. You have to, however, treat it a little bit. An aggressive energy is usually there to harm another person. That's why we call it aggressive. So take the harmful element out and use the energy which is there to do something. When I was a young man, before I came to Krishna consciousness, I had this great problem. I was very convinced of certain political ideologies, and I would go and be in demonstrations. And sometimes in the demonstrations there were scenes where aggression was used. And then when I became a little bit mature, I used this angry energy in me, this in positive ways, and I think it is possible. For me, it works. I use this energy of this strong energy, and I'm doing projects for the benefit of people. I would love to ask Mallika Mala, because she can address this from the point of view of psychology, no? Would you like to come here, Mallika Mala? It's okay, you can say something, no? Good. Because I have addressed this question from the point of a monk, Mallika Mala will address it from the point of a spiritual psychologist.
Maybe later, because maybe after when you finish, I continue.
Ha 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 ha, yes, then it's easier, yes. So, at the end, when I'm finished, Mallika Mala will tell, because it's difficult to get out of the seat, you know. This seat is very, very... Special seat. Good. So let's go to the next question, please.
Hare Krishna, please accept my obeisances. Thank you for such a wonderful tuning us up. Would you mind sharing, how can I learn bringing my mind back to the conscious chanting when it constantly gets distracted? How can I learn to bring it back?
Yes. Would you like to say it in Russian, the question?
Yes, I will read it in Russian. Благодарю вас за такую важную настройку. Можно узнать, как научиться возвращать свой ум к осознанному воспеванию, когда он отвлекается.
You have to learn to be a little conscious so that you catch your mind the moment it goes away. I have a friend here who is living in the same area. He is not yet a devotee, but he is sympathetic, and he always walks with a dog. He has a dog, nice dog. Dog is called Theo. And my friend goes with the dog, and Theo is a little dynamic. He always has the tendency to run and run after some deers. We live here. Behind us is a nice forest, you know. And my friend told me, I have to be very careful when Theo is with me, when the dog is with me. The moment I can see he wants to run, I say, Theo, come, come, come. And then Theo returns. Theo follows my friend very strictly. He is so strict in following the commands. He's very well trained. But Jörg, my friend, whenever he talks with me, he always looks, what is Theo doing? Because Theo could go any time away. And then, Theo, come back. when he doesn't notice it, Theo can run very far and it is very difficult to get him back. This is an analogy. Maharaj Rishabdev uses this analogy. He says, when you have captured your mind, you should not let the door open of the cage, because the mind can go any time again. You have to be, as a devotee, aware that your mind can sometimes go to places that are not good for you. So the moment you see that the mind starts to go, you say, please come back. It is not good. Come back. You have to learn this little art. Sometimes people tell me, oh, Maharaj, my mind wanders. And my answer is, good that you see it. It wanders all the time. But now you see it. When you see it, when you see that your mind wanders, you have a chance to take it back. Most of the time, or most of the people, don't really see themselves as separate from the mind. They think they are the mind. And then they have no chance to tell it what to do, because they are under the control of the mind, who tells them constantly what to do. So when you are in the position to ask this question, how can I control my mind when it is distracted? Then you have already made the first step. Now you have to just be a little bit more aware, like my friend who always looks at Theo. Oh, Theo, come back. And you have to be a little bit more aware when the mind goes and it's not good for you. Krishna says, speaks about this with Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, there are two things which help you to control the mind. The first thing is practice. I gave you a practice just to bring it back the moment you notice it. And the second is, you have to be detached. If you are attached, you like when your mind goes somewhere. You have to understand, this material world cannot give me real pleasure. I do not, it is not useful for my development. There is a place when I can be a little bit, let my mind a little bit maybe read something or think about something. But when I chant, I absolutely need my mind to be with me. In comparison to the chanting, all the other subjects do not have such high value. This detachment must be there. Otherwise, mind control is not possible. Good. I always regret that in such calls, I can imagine there are many more questions, and we like to also keep more association and so on. we don't want to stop the call, but I still think because there are many responsibilities always during the day, and that I will now say goodbye to all of you, and will I invite our Malika Mala to address you one more time. What I want to really also say is something that is really on my heart. I have followed the activities of IFAST, not completely, but many things I know. I've seen videos, and I've heard from many Russian people whom I meet all over the world, how they are connected with IFAST, how much they appreciate your leaders in IFAST. And I want to say this is a very, very good project. I can see by the qualities of the people who are responding to IFAST that they're very sensitive people, very conscious people. They are really very serious in their growth, in their spiritual growth. And I want to encourage you to please continue this important service. I know that for many of us, the past year has been difficult because things changed. Many things changed in the past year. Let us see change always as an opportunity. Let us not focus on what is not possible when things change. Let us focus on what opportunities we have. I really want to encourage you to keep on this wonderful service. I'm very, very, very impressed by your service. And I know Srila Prabhupada would be so happy. He wrote a letter. He said, "We want to reach out to the intelligent people." No? He wrote that letter. So good. So I will now say goodbye to all of you. I hope to see you again. Best would be live.